And welcome back. I'm John Galloway. That's Christopher Harrison.
You almost got me there. But after an entire day of jumpstart training, I have now learned I am John Galloway and you are Christopher Harrison.
I'm Christopher Harrison.
If you take nothing else away from today, you can hopefully remember that.
Yes, yes. Okay. Remember who we are.
So we've made it through a huge day of information. We've taken a one-week MVC certification course and crammed it into one day.
Yep, hit the highlights, hit the real core components of it.
Yep. And so now, in this session, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look forward. We're going to look at, you're going to be covering SignalR, and I'm going to be looking at Visual Studio 2013 and MVC 5, and the tooling for MVC and Visual Studio 2013. And then I'm going to we'll wrap up with kind of some where to go next, some additional resources, how to, you know, if there were some things that weren't clear today, how to get more information.
Yep, absolutely. So let's start off by taking a look at SignalR and what SignalR is going to do for us. So let's talk right away about the problems with HTTP. HTTP is a stateless protocol, which of course in a nutshell means that the user is going to send the request, the server is going to execute some code, it's going to send a response back to the user, we're going to disconnect, and we're going to forget who that user is. Now, this of course makes it very difficult if there's something that I need to send down to the client. So if maybe, and this will be the example that I'm using, if people are making comments on a session, and I want to make sure that those comments are live. So if I'm looking at a session screen and somebody submits a new comment, I want to be able to see that. That is where we need some form of two-way communication. I need to be able to send a signal from the server down to the client. Now, there's a couple of ways that we could do this in the past. One of the ways that we could do this is just make that HTTP connection persistent, but that is just flat not going to scale. So we need something different. We need a different protocol, and this is where WebSockets come into play. Mm-hmm. Now, you can, if you want, do WebSocket development. It works. It's there. You can absolutely do it. But the problem with doing WebSocket development is that it's sort of like doing normal socket development. And if you've never done that, it's all about serializing up and taking my request, sending it across the wire, waiting for a response to come back, reading it off the wire, and then acting upon the response that we got. What we want to be able to do is we want to be able to just simply, from the client, call a method on the server. From the server, call a method on the client. And that's exactly what SignalR is going to do for us. Now, SignalR wants to do WebSockets. That's where it's going to start. Unfortunately, depending on firewall issues, depending on browser issues or otherwise, WebSockets may not be available. And you'll notice that what SignalR will do is it will actually fall back all the way back down to long polling for us. And I'm actually going to go slightly out of order on my slides here. I really like this slide here because it sums it up perfectly. Is if we have to go back to polling, this is going to be it. Got any data? Got any data?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. And needless to say, why is it that people say needless to say and say it anyway? Needless to say.
Next slide.
Yes. You know? Needless to say, this is obviously not going to aid in performance. It'd be much nicer if we could just simply say, hey, do you do real time? Have the server come back and say, sure, I can do that. Awesome. Let's go. And everybody gets all excited and there was much rejoicing. Yay. All right. Now, let me go back to our little SignalR slide. So, in a nutshell, this really is what it's all about. It's all about our client-server conversation, all using, if available, WebSocket or falling back and enabling that two-way communication. Mm-hmm. That is what it's all about.
You know, and I love the way that you said it, and I think that really kind of sums it up when you say, if you assume that the client and the server are connected, then you can do remote procedure calls. The client in JavaScript, or whatever the client is, could even be C# code or whatever, can call a method on the server. And they're connected, so it's just saying server method go, you know, and then the server can call directly through a proxy, you know, SignalR handles that. The server can call a method on the client. The server can say, run some jQuery code, or the client in JavaScript code can say, why don't you go ahead and put something in the database, which is pretty slick. You know?
It really is. It really is. So if we come in and take a look at some code here, here is our hub. So SignalR is all about hubs. This is going to be the server, if you will, that my user's going to be able to connect up to. You'll notice that it's going to inherit from hub, which is going to really do two things for us. Number one is it's going to set up a handful of different properties that we're going to be using. More on that in just a couple of moments. The other very big thing that it's going to do is give us the ability to register all of those hubs. Now, as we're going to see, what the registration will actually do is this. Eventually, this send message method that we're seeing right here, we eventually want this to be callable from the client. Here's the thing. The client is not going to be able to just simply contact the server and say, I know you have a method there. I want to be able to call that. That's not going to work. It needs JavaScript. So what SignalR will do for us is generate the JavaScript file for us. So that way, sendMessage will become available to us inside of JavaScript. In addition, one of the other big things that SignalR will do for us is handle casing. In JavaScript, convention is camel casing, and they give you a perfect example of that down below, that you'll notice we've got our lowercase a. In JavaScript, that's convention. So if this is truly going to be callable from JavaScript, that should be a lowercase s. But as we all know in .NET, convention is Pascal casing, which is exactly what we've got here, which is going to be our capital S for send message. SignalR will handle the case sensitivity. So in here, I can program like I normally would in .NET, so I can use my Pascal casing, and then over in JavaScript, I can program the way that I program in JavaScript by using my camel casing. The next part that I want you to notice down below is the method call that we are going to make. Now you'll notice that this is going to be a dynamic object. So I can just add on whatever method it is that I might want. SignalR is all about giving me the ability to send a message down to the client. And the way that I'm going to do that is by calling a method on the client. So add message here is going to be translated eventually into a method that's on the client. And that, again, is the big takeaway here, that I don't have to worry about stepping back, doing polling, or anything else like that. We've talked about that. But more importantly, I don't have to worry about dealing with WebSockets. I make natural calls, that I just simply call a method, and that is it. You'll notice on the client side that it winds up becoming basically the exact same. That first of all, what I'm going to do is I'm going to connect out to my little hub. Now, they have chat hub here, and that's all well and good. But there's nothing that's pre-built in about this. This is not a keyword. This is not anything special like that. That again, this needs to exist in JavaScript. And that's one of the big things that SignalR will do, is it will generate that JavaScript for us. So when I say $.connection.chathub, it will be able to call off to the JavaScript file that's been created and access the chat hub that we've created. In addition, if you remember, back on the previous slide, what we're trying to do is we're trying to call a method on the client called addMessage. In order to call that method on the client, we need to register that method. And that is this little part right here that you'll notice we're just simply going to say hub addMessage equals, and then we're going to point this at a function. Now, if I do this, if I just simply highlight a couple little lines here, just want to highlight that part right there, I want to highlight that little part right there, want to highlight that little part right there. So just the highlighted part, okay? Ignore everything else. Ignore the man behind the curtain here. So just the highlighted part. Here's what I want you to notice. It's just JavaScript. Well, I should take that back. It's jQuery as well. But it's just JavaScript. That all I'm doing is I'm making a basic little jQuery call. I'm getting out something identified by MSGS. I'm adding in a list item to that. And that's it. Just normal jQuery. This will now become callable to the server. How? Well, because, again, I am registering that method right there. The name matches the method that I'm calling back here. And everything will be handled for me. Now, the next part is I also need to be able, from the client, to be able to call something on the server. So what you're going to notice is we have the ability to call our methods on the server. So you'll notice that they've got our little hub send message there. And then what I can do is I can read out some value or otherwise to send our data on up. Now, in order for that to work, we need to make sure that our connection's actually been made. And that is where this little event handler right here comes into play, our start done. So start will go ahead, make the connection for us, and then done will execute this code once it's loaded. So in a lot of ways, this is sort of like the document.ready, if you will, of SignalR, that we're just going to make sure that we've actually got a connection. Once we've got our connection, we'll wire up our little click event handler, and then we'll send our message on up. So now that we've got that, let's go in, take a look at using SignalR. You love my stall tactic. By the way, I love this. If you've never seen this in Visual Studio, again, simple things. Right click, mm-hmm. Close all but this.
Boom.
Yep, love it. All right. Now, SignalR is not already inside my project. SignalR is, however, available through NuGet. So I'm just going to say SignalR and simply hit install. And with blinding speed and amazing accuracy, this will now tell me everything that I need. And by the way, going back to a point that John had mentioned earlier about prerequisites. Again, you know, we're dealing with JavaScript here, but there's still an awful lot that's needed to make all of this work. NuGet handles this for me. So it will detect the different dependencies that I need that I don't already have and give me the ability to automatically download them in one shot. All right.
And roll up those licenses for you, which is pretty nice.
Yes. All right. We'll go ahead and accept.
Aren't you going to read all those licenses now?
Dang
if you
it,
could
you
read
know,
them aloud, that would be the best.
I knew I meant to do something. Okay. Now, again, going back to something else that we mentioned before about NuGet, is NuGet is not just about referencing DLLs, that it can make whatever changes are needed. And so you'll notice that it gave me a README file telling me the last couple of pieces that I'm going to need to make everything happen. So I'm going to need to register in my little hubs. There it is. I don't know why my brain stopped there for a minute. The code right in front of me. There we go. I need to register my hubs. So it just flat tells me, hey, go put that inside your global ASIX. Okay, fine. Let's global ASIX, and let's just go ahead, paste that right there. Okay, that was easy.
Yeah.
Done. And then the next part is right here, which is where I have to bring in the reference for SignalR. Now, I'm going to get into the view here in just a couple of moments, but this right here is that magically generated script that I was talking about that's going to have all of the code that's necessary for JavaScript to be able to call.
Mm-hmm. And if you were paying, just if you stay on that for just a second,
yeah.
if you're paying attention there, that's the difference between, for MVC4, you've got the Razer V2 syntax where you
yep.
just do tilde slash.
Exactly.
And it's root relative. Otherwise, you need to do URL.content and it'll figure out the
yep.
reference.
Yep, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Okay. So let's start off by creating a hub. And just for simplicity's sake, I'm just going to put it right here. And I'm going to call this my comment hub. And let's go ahead and say inherit from hub. And boom. All right. Now, here's what I'm looking to do. If you remember from before, let me bring up the page that we had. Session details one. And the
yes.
waiting is the hardest part.
I don't know what to talk about doing this way. Yep.
So, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. See, this is always the thing about doing live demos, is you may do something earlier that impacts something later. How about we close out of the management studio there? There
Nicely
we go.
Done.
And so, demo, and then hit submit. So you'll notice that that's going to show up right there. The problem, though, is let's say that I paste on in, Windows 7 was my idea,
yeah.
That same URL, and let me put in a comment from the left, or right comment. There we go. That's my right side.
Mm-hmm.
Hit submit, and you'll notice that that shows up over there on the right, but it doesn't show up on the left.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either. We need to fix that.
Yes.
So when we add in a comment, I want to make sure that it's going to display in both sides. So let's come over here, and I'm going to say public void add comment string content int32 session ID. And you know what? I really want that to be like that. Okay. So there's that. First things first, let me conference context. Context equals new. Let's go ahead and say comment. Comment equals new. And let's set our session ID to be the session ID. Let's set the content to be the content. And let's go ahead and say context comments add and add in our brand new comment. All right. So here's what I want you to notice about this block of code right here. There's nothing fancy. This again goes back to our very technical do stuff.
Yep.
So whatever it is that you need to do behind the scenes, you can still do it. So you'll notice in my case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send back to the database that comment that was just added in. Now, again, I need to send out the comment down below. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say clients. Now, off of my clients, you're going to notice that I have the ability to control how I'm going to send my signals, or basically which clients I'm going to make method calls on. So I could go down to the caller, whoever it was that just sent up the signal. I could send to all. I could go to everybody except maybe the caller itself. Or, and this is the one that I'm going to want, I can send to a group. See, mm-hmm. here's the thing, is going back to our scenario here, bring up our little sessions here, is I want to make sure if you submit a comment for session one, that only people that are looking at the session one page
yep.
are able to see it, not everybody.
I'm glad you're talking about this. We had several people in the chat asking, how do I deal with groups and all that? So there you go.
Perfect. Yep, just like this. So what I'm going to do down below is I'm going to say clients, group, and then specify my my particular group. And in my case, I'm going to do this based on the session ID. So basically, what I want to do is when you're looking at a session page, I'm going to put you into the group for that particular session. Mm-hmm. So that way, when somebody adds in for that session, you'll be the only ones that will see it.
We did get one comment. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to save changes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is like pair programming mm-hmm. taken to the nth degree.
Exactly.
Here. Okay.
Thank you, Ed in New Jersey, for that one.
Yes. Yes. in any event, so back over here, you're going to notice that I'm going to call to that group. Now, at this point, when I hit dot, you're going to notice dynamic expression. This is going to be the name of the method that I want to call on the client. So in my case, what I want to do on the client is I just want to send down a add new comment, something like that. And I'm going to pass down the content that you sent me.
Okay.
So again, I'm making a normal method call. That's really it. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that's fancy, if you will, is just that I'm sending it to a group of people and it's going to be sent down to a JavaScript call.
And then you just call that add new comment method.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. You'll also notice public void, let's say register, and let's say int32 session ID. And let's go ahead and say clients group. There we go. Sorry, groups. There we go. That's what I want. And then we'll go ahead and say add. So again, here's what I'm looking to do, is I'm trying to make sure that when the user looks at a particular page, that we make sure we're sending him the information for his particular session. So in order to do that, when that person comes along, takes a look at the page, I need to make sure that I put them into the appropriate group. So I'm going to do that just by simply calling add. You'll notice that it needs to know the connection ID, which I can read off of the context connection ID. There we go, hit tab. Mm-hmm. Now, you've had a couple of questions about this, and I want to field this sort of real quickly here. You can start to go really as far as you want with this. So for example, let's say I'm trying to create some form of a messaging service, or I need to send a signal back to somebody based on their username. Well, I can store, say, inside of a database behind the scenes, a very simple mapping. This username is currently this connection. And then that way, when I get a message for that particular user, I simply take the username, I go back to the database, I pull out their connection, and then I go ahead and send down the signal to that particular user. In my case, it's simply going to be my little group, and I'm simply going to say toString. There it is. Okay. So again, looks just like a normal class. All right, let's go into our views here. And let's do our get for session. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to Control-K, Control-C. Okay, fine. Be that way. Oh, I know.
Oh, because you had a comment.
Yeah, that's what's causing my problem. There we go. Woo. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get rid of what we had before on the whole here, but I am going to, at the very least, just keep this little spot right here. And let's go ahead and say ID equals comments list. And I'm now going to set up a real quick div down below. I'm going to say label for equals content. And let's go ahead and say content. And let's say input type equals text, ID equals content, And let's clear out my little value. And then let's go ahead and add in a button type equals button submit comment. Okay, so here's what I want you to notice is what I did here is no magic. Is I've got a little bit of MVC up top to go ahead and print out all of the current comments that we have. And then you'll notice that down below, it's nothing but HTML5. So I'm not using begin form, I'm not using an Ajax form, nothing like that. It's just simply HTML, nothing else.
Yep.
All right. So.
Yeah, that's a really key point here. We're not, there's, you could, in fact, this could be just HTML. It doesn't even need to be Razor there.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Yeah. This could be 100% HTML and JavaScript. Okay. So let me first go into my scripts here. And let me drag and drop out the call for SignalR. And if you remember back to the README text, we need to make sure that we're getting our hubs. Otherwise, this isn't going to work.
Yep.
Now, let's go ahead and add in our little script. We'll say $paren function. And let's go ahead and say... Okay, cool. Let's say var comment hub equals $.connection comment hub. So there is our hub. Now I want to register my little add new comment. So let's just come back over here and we'll say comment hub. This is going to be on the server side, and this is going to be that add new comment, let's do our casing, equals function, and our content, and oh, I don't know why I have a parenthesis there. There we go. I was seeing squigglies, and my brain just wasn't firing fast enough. So now let's just go ahead and say $pound comments list dot add and let's say li plus whoops not add it's going to be append append li our content plus and then let's close that out. Okay, so once again, normal JavaScript, that I'm just simply setting up a method. The only fancy thing is that this is now going to be callable from the server.
Yep.
On the flip side, I now want to set up our connection. Why is my brain failing me?
What are we doing? Starting the connection?
Yes.
Let me see. I'm not sure. Do you have it in? I would think it would say start.
There we go. I was missing one little spot. Okay. There we go. Now back over here. Connection. Hub.
There
start.
We go.
There it is. Done. And. There we go. Start, done, and this is going to be our little function call, and there we go. Whew, it is getting late. Okay, now on our little start, I'm going to go ahead and go grab the button that I created. I probably give it an ID. ID equals... Submit, click, function, and, you know, it's just one of those things. You open up a set of parentheses, you just automatically want to close them. And let's go ahead and say comment hub, and I want server. And this is going to be my add comment.
Ah, there you go.
Hold on one second. I realizing right now I've got a mistake. And I'm glad I'm catching this now. Client. Because I'm adding this on the client side, not on the server side. This is where I'm calling the server. This is on the client callable by the server. Mm-hmm. Calling to the server, callable from the server.
Yep.
Okay. So, and let me make sure my name is right. And it is. It's add comment. And I need my model. I need a session ID.
Now, as you're typing this, let me talk just a second. This is moving pretty fast. So part of our goal with this end session is to show you some future, some upcoming stuff a little bit. So SignalR, I believe, is covered on the certification exam, but it's not in huge detail, right?
Correct. It is in the course.
Yep. So the what we're trying to do here is, don't worry if you're not keeping up, basically, is what I'm trying to say. he's doing some kind of advanced stuff. He's connecting a lot of clients together. They're using group. He's coding the client and server up together, and he's doing it in just a few minutes. So if it's moving fast, don't worry. The point is, and I'll show some references for where you can learn more about this and look at some samples and all that. So don't worry if it's, you know, if it's moving fast. All right, back to you.
Okay, back to me. And now I just want to make sure of one last thing on my controller, on my comment controller. Okay, good. It is inside of my view bag, and it is inside of my view bag. Okay, so I'm going to call add comment. Again, that's going to go up to the server. I'm going to pass in my session ID, and I'm going to, right there, grab the val.
You have a red squiggle there.
I do have a red squiggle. It's giving me a syntax error.
Add comment. Does add comment take to?
Yes. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to do this.
Oh, right. Session ID and throw it down there. Great.
Still giving me red squiggles.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
All right, well, we're going to find out.
I think it's going to be okay.
Okay. I'm taking your word for it, man. All right. The other thing that I need to make sure that I do is I need to make sure server, that I register. I believe that was what I called it. And this is going to be my session ID. Mm-hmm. All right, let me just make sure.
Did you start the register hub?
There. Did I start the hub? I did.
Okay, good.
Okay. Now, I give this a 70% chance.
I'm giving it 87%.
I'm going to have a sentence defined. Hold on. You know, one of the things that I've had happen to me in the past is sometimes it will not generate the hubs. There we go. And now let's try that again.
Somebody said put the quotes, the session ID in quotes.
Oh, yeah, yep. And that, well, that'll fix that, which is true. Yep, that will fix that. Thank you.
Yep, we had a few people. Thanks, Merrick and John. And Nicholas.
Connection. Comment hub. Inherits from hub. Inside my global ASAX. I've got it all.
Okay.
It's all there.
Did it work?
Not yet.
So we may want to, if this is difficult, we may want to switch back over to me, and I could take, I could go through some stuff and you could take a look at that.
Please do that.
Okay. So let's switch over to, I want to do a few things. Can we switch to my desktop?
You know, this is really my own fault. Because I had mentioned, I said it out loud, you know, we haven't had a demo go completely sideways yet.
Oh, I think I did pretty well.
Okay, well, yeah, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah, okay, so so first of all, I want to point out a few answers to questions. So we had a lot of questions on how can I find out more about SignalR, where can I can find some samples. So if you go to the ASP.NET site, and you click on Learn, and you click on SignalR, that'll bring you here. There's tons of information here.
Fantastic information.
Great. There are samples here. If you click on Samples, this brings you to a repository with tons of stuff. And this is by David Fowler, who is one of the developers on SignalR, and also an insane programmer, incredible. And he's always chatting me at 3 in the morning. The guy never sleeps. He's just incredible. Anyhow, so there's that. Security, we had some questions on SignalR security. And so if you go on that same SignalR thing, there's a lot of information here on SignalR security. We also had questions, just kind of segueing over, we had questions on Web API security. Again, if you go onto the site, you go to Web API, and you go to the security tab, lots more here. So this will tell you about Web API security. A few more just kind of a roundup of questions, and then I'll jump into Visual Studio 2013. We had some questions about MSDN benefits. So if you go to the Windows Azure site, there's a section on here. If you just search for Windows Azure MSDN benefits, it'll bring you to this. And this talks about what you get for free and what you get in addition with MSDN credits. So if you've got MSDN and you're not using Windows Azure, you're kind of just throwing away like a lot of good free stuff. You might as well use it. We had a question on just the certification process in general. And
yeah.
So I'm linking to this. This is exam 7486. And Christopher, high level?
Sure. So this is actually something that that I can talk to. That the way that the certification works for web development is there's an MCSD, Microsoft Certified Solutions Developer. And for the web development side, there's three separate exams. There's the HTML5, JavaScript, CSS, basically just making sure that, yes, you can put together web pages, you can make JavaScript calls. There's that. There's the 70-486, which is this one here, which is all about MVC and MVC4. And then finally, there is, and I want to say the number is 487, pulling that off the top of my head, please don't quote me on that. But that is the services and Azure exam. So it'll be those three exams to go off and take.
So you could get you could take all three of those exams and get an MCSD, or you could just get certified. You can get MCP or something if you just pass one exam.
Correct.
Is it still that way?
Yeah.
So you could get certified on just this one exam, and you could say I am, you know, it's so and that can be useful. You know, that was a. I got certified MCSD early on, and that helped my career being able to say I actually know what I'm talking about to other developers and my boss and stuff. Somehow I convinced them of that. One other thing I just wanted to point out, I noticed during the slides we've been recommending some ASP.NET MVC4 books. I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. So I'm a co-author of the Rocks MVC4 book. Yep, and I do want to point out that we have a good amount, like if I go to Learn MVC, and you'll see that there's some, where is it, somewhere, there's some books recommended there as well. So in pretty much any of the sections on the site, if you want to learn Web API, and I think you'll see some books recommended here. So if you learn well from books, there are a lot recommended on the site. So what I think we ought to do is we'll skip over to my slides, and I'll talk about what's in Visual Studio 2012 updates and then Visual Studio 2013 and try and sell you on getting that release candidate installed. So Visual Studio updates, Visual Studio, it used to be that there would be Visual Studio 2005, and then you'd wait 3 years and you got 2008, and then you'd wait a few years and you got 2010. And so what they've done is they've moved towards an update model. And the idea with updates is kind of like, they're almost like extensions. They install, you know, it's kind of a lightweight, quick install. They add features. Usually they don't change the underlying core framework, but they do add things like editor features and also new templates. So enabling things like I showed you the single page application template that was added by an update. So this is what came out in Visual Studio Update 2, Visual Studio 2012 Update 2, which came out I think around February or March. And that included ASP.NET and Web Tools 2012.2, which just rolls off your tongue. But the things that are included in there, there are updates for the templates. That brought in some great features to web forms, including including model binding and friendly URLs. There were updates to add in SignalR support, web API, help pages. MVC added in the single page application in Facebook. And then a ton of great stuff for web tooling. So tooling is something that nobody in the real world uses. Nobody uses that word, but at Microsoft, tooling means writing things inside of like Visual Studio to make it easier to write code. So they included Page Inspector, which is alive in the screen. As you're editing, it updates the live view of the code, which is incredible. So you can go through and see what's happening as you do it. That's already available in Visual Studio 2012. Updates for IntelliSense for all these templates on the left. Better updates for publishing and also the web editor stuff. What's in 2013 RC? First of all, it's available. It runs side by side with Visual Studio 2012. I'm running it on this machine. I've been doing 2012 demos all day, and the only demo fails have been my fault. So 2013, and they really have done a lot of work to make these different versions of Visual Studio play well together. So they round trip. You can even open a project in one version and then open it in another, and they won't, you know, kill each other. So some things I want to talk about, new features for web developers in Visual Studio 2013 RC. First of all, OneASP.NET. So we showed a slide about this earlier, and the idea is that, you know, ASP.NET, you've had web forms and MVC and web API and SignalR and web page, all these different things, and they kind of play well together, but they're kind of separate. And we're really working to make it so that you don't have to make hard choices. You don't have to say, well, I have something that will mostly be an MVC application, but I might want to use web forms later, or I have mostly web forms, but I need the flexibility. So we are building it so that it's even easier now. You can say, I would like mostly MVC, but a little bit of this and that. You can click things off. Browser link is pretty incredible. So Scott Hanselman did a great demo at the latest Build conference. I helped work on that demo. And so if you want to see if, you know, he had 10 minutes to go through this and showed it in more detail. But the idea is, inside, what would you do if you were Microsoft and you had SignalR and you had Visual Studio? Well, then you could say, when someone runs my code in debug, I could hook up SignalR to it, and I could actually attach JavaScript into the browser that calls back into Visual Studio. Well, now Visual Studio and your web page are connected. They're able to update each other. So the simple thing that's enabled right out of the box in Visual Studio 2013 is you can make code updates in Visual Studio and your browser refreshes as you type. That's pretty cool. But they've also open sourced some things with Browser Link to make it so that you can write your own extensions. And they've done some cool examples where you're actually in page edit in a web page, you click it, double click in it and start typing, and it updates in Visual Studio. So this is an insane feature that will get even more insane. This is Mads Christensen, who's just does crazy stuff with Visual Studio and the web tooling. One other thing I want to point out here, I guess, maybe a one after this, but is Azure Web Tooling. So I'm going to show a demo in a second if you're getting antsy. Azure Web Tooling, this is now built into Visual Studio. So remember how when I showed deploying my site to Windows Azure, I needed to go to a web page, create a site, and then import that published profile. Now you can do that directly inside of Visual Studio. So inside of Visual Studio, you'd say add a new site, and the published profile is already set up and it's all integrated. So that's a great time saver. One other thing is scaffolding. So this picture here shows the scaffolding that's in the RC, and it even gets a little better for RTM. But the idea is that scaffolding is pretty handy. I showed how to use it in MVC. It also is pretty nice in web API, but it was different. There were two different scaffolding systems, and then web forms didn't have it at all. So the new release now, this is one scaffolding system that works all across the board. There's also support for Owen. Owen is a kind of a new kind of underlying platform for ASP.NET. So The idea is things run on top of Owen, and Owen actually stands for Open Web Interfaces for .NET. What that allows you to do is you can swap out the hosting layer. You can also plug in middleware. So into into your application, you could plug in some middleware that says, I want to add, you know, I want to add a watermark to all my images, or I want to go in and put in a, you know, change some content, or, you know, really the sky's the limit. You could do quite a bit with it. So this is a new thing. It's kind of out on the horizon, but it's supported in the next release. And finally, the ASP.NET identity system has gotten a nice overhaul, and this simplify it. It's kind of a works well with Entity Framework Code First. It allows you to extend it quite a bit, and it's really built. It solves a lot of problems. If you've ever had to extend identity in the past, really solves a lot of problems you may have run into. Let's look at this stuff. So I'm going to go over to that RC. Remember, if you just search, you could look on the visualstudio.com site. If you search for Visual Studio 2013, or you can also download it off of MSDN or TechNet. So here we go. So I've got it installed, so I'm going to hit new project. So that's Control Shift N is new project. I like that one. So I'm going to go in, and now look at this. When I click on web, I don't have web forms or web API or MVC or SignalR or all that. I just have a web application, right? And that's because it's one ASP.NET. Now, if I want to, I can go back to these Visual Studio 2012 project types and I can create them. That's if I'm working with something legacy or if I need to work with, you know, one of these specifics. Mm-hmm. But if I just want to create a new web application, this is just a new ASP.NET web application. So let's say I would like an MVC site, but I'd like to also have support for web forms and web API. Or I could say I would like a single page app, but also throw in web forms, right? So this is kind of an a la carte menu. I could say I would like web forms, but also add in MVC support. And this is something, if you've worked with a web forms app and added in MVC support in the past, it's possible, but it's a little tricky. So now that's actually a lot easier. So here I'm going to create an MVC site with web forms and web API support. Because they're all the same system, the authentication is now, we're able to have one consolidated authentication. I could say no authentication at all. Individual user accounts, so this can work for things like, you know, Facebook, Twitter, as well as local accounts. I can use organizational accounts, so this will work with things like Active Directory or Office 365, or I could use intranet applications using Windows authentication. Okay, so I'm going to say OK, I'll create this. So again, what it's doing now is it's creating an MVC application, but this is actually just a one ASP.NET application. And this has, it's going to create, you know, my views and controllers and all that, but it also has included, if I look at my NuGet packages, there'll be a few, but
just a couple.
It's got support for some things that will work well with web forms as well, right? So we even have, like, somewhere in here is friendly URLs, which is support for that'll be in my NuGet packages, but that's good support for web forms, okay? So, I can show you quickly the idea of scaffolding, and this will change a little bit for the release. But if I say scaffold, add scaffold, so here into the application, I could create, what was that?
I said, that's cool.
It is cool. It gets even better for the release. But the idea is I can go in and I could say, I would actually like to add in, you know, an MVC5 view, but I could also add in web API. So, you know, this gets more extended, and web API, or excuse me, web forms didn't make it in for the release, but that'll be shipped as an update soon after. Guys, are we like hard limit on time, or can we go a little bit over? Good. Excellent. Okay, so we're going to go a little bit over, because this is the fun part. Okay, so that's scaffolding. I'm going to run the application. Before I do, I'm going to say I would like to browse with more than one browser. So we've been using IE all day. We know that some people use other browsers, and you need your applications to support multiple browsers. So I'm going to say set two default browsers, and then I'm going to say browse. So this is going to spin up two different browsers. This spun up IE, and it spun up Chrome. All right, there we are. So there they are side by side. So now, this is a little bit difficult to see all of these all at once, but I'm going to try and fit them all, kind of. So the idea is I can go into a view, shrink this up a little bit higher. Okay, so now I'm going to go, I know this is tiny, but I'm going to go into a view. So Solution Explorer, and I'll dig up the home index view. All right, and I'm just going to go into this, and I'm going to say up at the top where it says ASP.NET, I'm going to say is awesome. So now I could either hit this button here, and this will update everything.
Oh, wow.
You see that live on the fly, it did the updates, right? So I can see it as it works.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can say, and I can also say Control Alt Enter. So as I'm typing, and it actually updated them both, right? So this is great here. I can see that they're rendering slightly different, and I can start digging into that and mm-hmm. see exactly what's going on with them. So another thing that you'll notice is that these templates are now using Bootstrap. So Bootstrap is a popular theming system. What we've done over the years, if you've followed along with MVC, the original templates that shipped with ASP.NET MVC 1 through 3
mm-hmm.
were pretty ugly. They were a blue page with a white square and kind of developer design, right? So with MVC 4, we got a lot better ones. I showed the responsive design. I showed that, if you look at the HTML and the CSS, it's actually been sweated over and it looks nice.
Yes.
But the problem is, it was all Microsoft specific. And if you wanted to get a new theme for it, well, there weren't really any. You had to go in and write your own. What's nice is with Bootstrap. So Bootstrap was originally developed by Twitter. It's a very common or very popular framework. So if I say Bootstrap, I think it's Git. So Bootstrap, no, it's not Git or Bootstrap. There we go. All right. So if we go, oh, there it is. I don't know what happened there. Get Bootstrap. So Bootstrap is a common front-end system. So it includes CSS, JavaScript, and it also includes some components. So some things like you can go in and you'd say, I want to use some icons. That's always something you'll need to do. It has support for all kinds of things like button drop-downs, this kind of stuff. So things that you commonly will want to use in a site.
Mm-hmm.
One other great thing is that it's easy to theme. So there are sites like bootswatch.com.
By the way, I just want to point out, I'm glad that I'm not the only one that that can't type.
Yeah.
That, as it turned out, after going through and looking at all that, and we'll bring it back eventually,
yeah.
It turned out it was just a typo.
Oh, great.
That
okay.
was it. Yeah, so I'm glad to see I'm not the only one that can't type.
Yeah, yep. Okay, this is a whirlwind tour. If you want to see more, you can watch the build presentation. We've got a lot of content that's going to be going up on the ASP.NET site as well that will highlight this stuff. But these are new themes, and you can actually go in, and we did during the build demo, we downloaded the CSS and just replaced it. So I think if I say download this Bootstrap, I think I want bootstrap.css, and I just save it over, and I could save it right over my current project. I'm not going to do that now, but basically I hit F5, and it refreshes mm-hmm. across, so it's a themeable system. So you may be asking what's new for MVC. And really the biggest thing that's different for MVC 5 is that it no longer is a separate project type. So it used to be with ASP.NET MVC 1 through 4, it was a completely separate project type. If you looked at the CS project file, you actually had to go in and edit a GUID and all this stuff. It's crazy. So now that's gone, and it's just one ASP.NET thing, and that actually took a pretty good amount of work. They had to go in and rewrite a lot of the tooling and stuff. Again, I said that word, tooling. They had to go in and rewrite all this stuff that used to only light up if you were using MVC, and now it'll work across the board, across all these things. How about, that's the very quick whirlwind tour of Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. So how about if we jump back to SignalR, and then I'll wrap up with the slides.
Sure, that sounds perfect. Give me 1 second just to pull up my Visual Studio here. There we go.
Great.
I'm going to blame it on the Bossa Nova. I'm going to blame it on the fact that I've been doing a lot of PowerShell work lately. For whatever reason, my brain just decided that I need a dollar sign in front of a variable name.
Yeah. And it looks like jQuery.
Yeah, exactly. And that was it. It was that, you know, just with the dollar signs everywhere else, my brain just did not catch that until finally I went in and debugged it, and I looked, took a look at it and went, oh, wait a minute. That's not right.
Yeah.
So now, hang on a minute. Ein Minuten, bitte. So what you're going to notice is that if I bring up my my little page, what I want you to notice is, first of all, up at the top right, you're going to notice that I've got I Want Spaghetti. Over on the top left, you're going to notice I Want Spaghetti. And you're going to notice down below, I've got my MVC Rocks. Now, when I bring up the page, again, what's going to happen is it's going to register for a group particular to that page. So when I put in a comment for I Want Spaghetti, the only place that we're going to see it is just on the I Want Spaghetti. For the MVC Rocks, it will then show up just on MVC Rocks. So let me just kind of clear everything out. And, you know, I got to say, I'm really disappointed. It's 4:42. You know what we still haven't done yet? Are you ready?
Hello, world. Woo!
So let's go ahead and hit Hello, world. And you'll notice that Hello, world has now appeared here. It's now appeared over here. Just that simple.
Yep.
And you'll also notice down below that if I type in something for MVC Rocks, yes, yes, it does, and I hit Submit Comment, you'll notice that it will show up on this screen, but again, nowhere else. And if we go one step further, and let's just bring this over here, hit refresh, there we go. And I'd prefer it neat. You'll notice down at the bottom, I'd prefer it neat now shows up on both sides. And if I bring up the two I Want Spaghetti pages, you'll notice that it does not show up there. So there is our SignalR, and I just want to forgive me for maybe belaboring the point, but I know I kind of moved fast, and we obviously had the break before we came back and showed it all. But here is the end result here. Here's the whole thing that came together, that what we had is we have a register method that's on the server. We have an add comment method that's on the server. And we're able to call them just like we would normal JavaScript methods. You'll also notice that we created an add comment method. This add comment is callable from the server. So the server can now say, hey client, I want to execute that bit of JavaScript. And from the client, we can say, hey server, we want to execute that bit of code. And all that we have to do after setting up the hub is just simply make sure that our method names match. So you'll notice right here, we just have add comment, and again, you'll notice right here, we've got register. The last little thing that I want to highlight is A, and C. You'll notice in each one of these, that's going to be Pascal cased. You'll notice that if I come back over here to my JavaScript, that in my JavaScript, I'm making the Pascal cased calls across the board. It handles my casing for me. There is SignalR.
All right. Are we back to me then?
I believe we are back to you.
Okay.
So
I have a few important announcements, and then I'll go right, or three actually, important announcements, and then I'll go to the
important announcement
slide.
Number one.
Important announcement number one, if you're dropping off or whatever, make sure that you fill out the poll. So there's
Please do.
Yes, there's a poll underneath the video. We would really, really, really appreciate it. It helps us know how to improve. It helps MVA know how worthwhile this is to you, et cetera. So please fill that out. Announcement number two is my V key does not work. And I don't know how I got through the day. I don't know if it just stopped, but that's awesome. So I was like trying to type something. I'm like, that's odd. So somehow it doesn't matter now, but that's awesome.
Further proof, you just don't need a V key.
Exactly. The third is I must not paste much, huh?
Yeah.
So the third thing, if we go to my, so there, VS Web Essentials, we had this come across in the slides, in the chat several times. This is a great it's essential. This is a really good thing to get. It's an extension. It's built by Mads Christensen, who also works on the web tooling that I already showed you, some of that amazingly crazy stuff that's in Visual Studio 2013. What they do is prototype things in Web Essentials. And some of the features that they add for Web Essentials will never make it into Visual Studio for whatever reason. There may be some kind of weird licensing thing or whatever. Some of them, they're just trying them out. But there are all kinds of things for, for instance, TypeScript. TypeScript is a way to, I don't know, maybe not TypeScript, looks like they removed that. Less and CSS are some examples. So all kinds of great features, and then some of those eventually make it into Visual Studio.
By the way, somebody did ask on Visual Studio 2013 if they'll still be using the floppy icon for
save. Oh, I sure
hope
so. I'm old. I don't know. How will I find out how to save my stuff anymore?
Exactly.
It's going to be confusing. All right, so we need to wrap up at some point.
Yes, we do.
So what we want to do is kind of come back down to, we covered a lot of material in the day. We actually sweated pretty hard about what can we fit into one day.
Yep.
And we want to leave you with some resources on where to go next.
Yep.
One question we had, you can think of this while I'm showing this, but we had a sample code posted somewhere. I think we can probably put that up on SkyDrive, right?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can find somewhere to put that. Our Twitter handles have been up on the screen all day long. I'm at Geek Trainer, all one word.
I'm at John Galloway, all one word. Also,
in fact, there we are.
Yes, there we are.
Yep.
So perfect. And I have the spaghetti. Yes, the day is complete. That's beautiful. yes, I regained train of thought. Okay, so back to the slides. I want to leave you with some resources on where to go next. So one is, if you have questions or feedback about ASP.NET, I've been plugging the ASP.NET site quite a bit. The ASP.NET site, if you just go to feedback or down in the footer, there's a thing that says feedback. And there are places where you can ask for help, or you can say, I don't like this feature, or I want more information on this thing, add it to the site. We work hard to stay up on social media, make it easy for you to get a hold of us. So myself, Scott Hanselman, a few other people work pretty hard on this. So we've got Twitter at ASP.NET, we're on Facebook, we're on Google+. So we really try and, get out there and get that content out to you. Let me see, webcams. Webcams is something that I've been involved with over the years. I really enjoy doing it. We have in-person events where we travel all over the world. We also have, local people putting them on. So I'm deep in the middle of creating new content for MVC5 and Visual Studio 2013. And this is, it's kind of a similar sort of thing. It's one full day of training and it's in person, coming to a city near you, hopefully. We also have a webcam training kit, and that has slides, samples, hands-on labs, all kinds of things to learn more. Windows Azure, I just want to leave you with one URL there. Go to windowsazure.com. There's a ton of information there. There really is just a huge amount. Make sure that you click on the .NET part, because Windows Azure also supports all kinds of things, Node, PHP, Python, all over the place, and virtual machines, all different kinds of operating systems. But when you go to the .NET area, there's a lot of information about ASP.NET and hosting on Azure. The ASP.NET site, as I've said several times, I'm really plugging this. We want to know if we're missing things, but we think we've got quite a lot of information here about what's new. So especially if you go to like the Learn tab, or the Learn tab especially, that'll help you kind of find what you need to know.
All right, and one last little one, 20487. And if you, I'm just gonna, this will take just a second here. If you guys want to take my, now I've got the spaghetti here. but if you guys want to take my screen, the last little thing, again, being the certified trainer that I am, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that Microsoft does have some very solid courseware that's available. The 20486, I probably 80% of the slides that you saw today were straight out of the 20486. Again, like John mentioned, we really struggled with, okay, well, what do we keep? What do we drop out. The 20486, 5 full days of MVC4 goodness. So if you're really wanting to spend some time and really dig into it, that's fantastic. Again, just to close off the certification track, if you are looking for more information on an HTML5 JavaScript CSS, the 20480, again, a full 5 days on just HTML5, JavaScript, CSS3. And then finally, the 20487. So if you're looking for more on Windows, Azure, Web Services, there you go. And if you're looking to really invest a lot of time in training for either the certification or for your own personal knowledge, there's a handful of courses for you.
Great. I think we're done.
I do believe that we've done all the damage that we can do for one day.
It's been quite a day, huh?
It certainly has been.
So over the course of the day, we started out looking at, you know, the basic pattern of MVC. We looked at models, controllers, and views.
Yep.
We took it further with Ajax and JavaScript. Then we dug into
Web APIs.
Web API.
We deployed out to Azure.
Yep.
We added on SignalR, and we took a sneak peek at the future. That's a lot for 6 hours.
That is. So thank you for spending your day with us.
Absolutely. Once again, still, Christopher Harrison, still.
Know this. Spaghetti. No. John Galloway. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys so very much. And there's some spaghetti.